meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and welcome back to the show, Interpol. Paul Banks, Carlos D. here tonight. Good to see you guys again.
Thanks. Hello.
Drew had figured out exactly when the band was on last.
Which is a rare alchemy for me, right?
Yeah. It is, although you got your brain's intact. Drew hasn't smoked much weed. He's done basically a tanker truck full of blow, but no weed,
and no acid, and
hasn't dropped any acid, and his brain's intact. You know, does a little moderate boozing. What are you guys into? Do a little drinking.
A little drinking.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Here and there and everywhere.
It's your medicine. That's what I tell Drew.
The edge is just ever present. So
yes,
always
got
to get it off.
Saw something in USA Today with the turns out a couple of glasses of red wine, good for you. Can they shut the F up with these polls already? Every 14 months, hey, turns out a couple of glasses of red wine, good for the heart, good for the circulation. Yeah. Yeah. We heard. Uh-oh, drink too much, bad for you. Uh-oh, let me make a note of that. Is there some sort of decree that every few months someone has to make a study on coffee and or red wine and then make the proclamation that it turns out it is kind of good for you in moderation?
Garlic is the other one, I think.
Yeah, garlic's the other one.
Doesn't speak volumes about the nature of news.
Yeah,
really, bottom line.
Look, here's the deal. As I've said with many of the Peanuts cartoon strips I've seen over the years, you got nothing. You don't have anything. You got nothing. Lucy's holding the ball. Right. Charlie comes up. There's Snoopy's taking a nap. And then at the end, Snoopy says, I've had better days. It's like, okay, that took up half a page. You got nothing. Put a missing kid in there.
Yeah.
They take a missing kid picture and put him in there.
Save a tree.
And just be honest. Like, you say to your editor, listen, I got nothing. And look, I only want to give you the good stuff, and I don't have it today. But there's some missing kid in there. Put a picture. But what if a newspaper did say, look, when we got nothing, when we got BS, we're just going to waste your time and so on and so forth, we'll put a picture of a missing kid.
What about Family Circus and Dennis the Menace?
Oh,
I think in the same category is what you're saying.
Oh my God. And not only that, and it goes like, it's everywhere. It's Penthouse cartoons, Playboy cartoons, like, they've all given up. Just like, sometimes you get like four or five captions or boxes
Sometimes just a paycheck, Adam.
You get to the fifth. I know, it's what I'm doing now. you get to the fifth box and you go, oh, they had nothing. They didn't have anything. I wish it, by the way, say it at the beginning. How about a little, you know what I want? Here's what I'd like in life. People should give themselves a grade. Like Schultz should say, look, this thing's about a D minus at best. So if you're busy, don't read it.
I thought he was dead.
Well, from the grave, posthumously.
here's what we do. Here's Schultz's grade.
That's how you
grade.
Know it's crappy.
Log
it's
on better. And give your opinion.
It's better that he died.
Yeah.
Now the cartoon's actually, it's come up a little bit now that he's gone. Bad thing to say about an artist, by the way. Can you imagine if you guys died and Interpol actually got
improved.
Better? It actually improved.
The songs got better, yeah.
They're a little tighter.
The remixes would take over.
It's something you tap your foot to. I'm not saying better, but different in a good way. Yeah. Interpol is going to be, let's see, they're doing a signing tonight, y'all. They're going to be down at the Virgin Mega Store on Sunset. That's right after this show. Yeah, so right at midnight. Yes?
Excellent.
Yeah, they're going to cut out here at about 11:20, and they're going to hustle on over there to the Mega Store on Sunset, which has got to be the one that's on Crescent Heights and...
Laurel?
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 Yeah, well, that's Crescent. Well, it turns into Crescent Heights
Does
at
it?
A certain point, and yeah. I think it's up the hill a little bit. So, you guys excited about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, hold them back, Adam. Hold them back.
We flew from Rome today.
Rome
to New York.
We get
New
a
York
lot of
to LA.
Oh my God!
So this is just
a tired,
sort of, you know, surreal, dreamlike state.
Yeah,
actually, it should be roughly around 8 a.m. for us right now.
Oh.
Because it's 8 a.m. in Rome.
Did you sleep on the plane?
I did.
Yeah, good.
I got a couple hours, but those hours don't really count.
No. No,
I slept all the way through Walking Tall or what's
oh, nice.
Oh, really?
The Rock.
That's actually
rock
a good
movie.
Thing.
Yeah.
Slept clear through it.
I'll tell you, this is why, and we fly in business, first class, coach, where we're...
We don't divulge those kinds of details.
Yeah, first, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, now when people don't say, do they not want the fans to think they're sellouts so they're actually flying first class and don't want to say?
Or they're embarrassed that
embarrassed. For the sake of something to talk about, reality, yeah, it was coach. And on the flight from New York, so small. Sometimes planes are a little different than other planes, and it was really small.
That's bad times.
Yeah. It's bad, although you guys aren't behemoths, so that's a good thing. I don't mean you're dwarves.
How dare you? What are you talking about?
Yeah. A coach airline seat is made for 5'9" and below. And you start getting into the 6'2" plus range, and you start getting some of these healthy guys in there, and then they're eating their knees all the way out there.
Yeah.
And their
skin's breaking down just from where their butt's touching the
Oh, yeah. The,
you know.
Oh, yeah. They get the flesh-eating virus.
Yeah,
just a short jaunt just here to Phoenix. And we have to peel you like a glove when we get you there. Yeah. No, the difference between coach and first class size-wise is the difference between a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", and a chick who's 5'5".
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Your midget, every flight is first class. So I'm serious. Think about that. If I were a midget, all I'd be doing is flying. That's all I'd do. I'd probably be a pilot. Midget pilot. Do they have height requirements?
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd freak people out. That would be a great... That'd be a great gag to do, just full-on pilot outfit, but mini-me, walking all the way down the aisle.
First you have just looking over his shoulder, talking to people,
and then he spins
around and jumps off.
No, first, he's outside the plane, kicking the tires, and the tire's up over his head. He's jumping up, trying to touch the flaps. That would be awesome, just midget. You see the phone book in there on his pilot seat? Right. Okay. All right. You guys would fly, though, right? Just, special hand controls made, maybe put some wood blocks.
Yeah,
everyone's fine. They have to try harder. We're going to hear a song from Interpol in this first hour. And what else am I missing here? Tonight Show. You guys done the Tonight Show before, yes?
No. Yes, that's correct.
Good. And
Jay Leno.
How is it for a band to play that show?
He's good. He came into the dressing room the first time we did it and said hello, and it seemed sincere.
Yeah.
He was he's got a warm personality, and he actually does seem like he's not just going through the motions.
Wearing a denim shirt, no doubt.
Yeah, he was pretty laid back. And he's got a nice car.
Yeah.
Which one was he driving?
It was the yellow Vet at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's got 500 horsepower written on the side of the car, which is just...
Yeah.
It was a nice thing. Good for him.
You know what makes you want to puke is... The richer you get, the more people want to give you crap. And it's like, Dave, this is our 10,000th Harley Davidson.
Oh,
we had
right.
a custom had a custom forge for you. Your initials are in it. It's like, free. Yeah, he gets that crap for free. And they want to say, the company, he got the first GT Ford that just came out. You get the front of the list for everything. Drew.
I get free spaghetti and meatballs from the guy down the street from where I live.
Oh, really?
Nice. And that's a big perk.
That is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. But I think I agree with you. I shouldn't be getting free spaghetti. Right.
You don't need it
because right. I don't
the
need
kid the guy in the refrigerator box out behind the restaurant.
Exactly.
Needs the free.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Here's really life in a nutshell. Think about the gift basket. From age 0 to age 30, I never received a gift basket.
Never saw one.
Not counting the decorative popcorn tin that my uncle Vince and Aunt Pat got me that ended up defecating in because my stepmom locked me in the garage for a summer. But other than that...
You think he's kidding. Get the image in your head.
Other than the $11 worth of popcorn...
$11.
All right, you're right.
$4.93.
Let's make it $5. Let's call $5. Yeah. Let's be nice to them. That's the only thing I ever got. Now anything I do, I get the big gift thing, and it's got stuff in it, and it's got Sirius radio, and it's got like Walkman crap. So I mean, you just start piling, you start unfolding, then you start handing it out to people. Not even a dent. Sort of a hassle. Like, now it's in the house. Now I got to deal with it. Hardened, jaded, just like those meatballs.
I know.
Yeah, it's great. How can we do that, Drew? How can we not be jaded?
I'm not jaded.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I know. You know why? Because you're keeping it real. All right, what are we doing?
Think let's calls.
Go. Drew, let's talk it
let's
up.
Go.
Buddy.
Come on, let's go.
Let's
Think
go.
Call.
Let's break it down. Go. What are we missing from Interpol here? Conan on the 8th, by the way, tonight's show. That's Leno on the 1st. And then my beloved Jimmy Kimmel on the 26th of October. Have you done Jimmy Kimmel before?
Yes.
It's a good time.
And you haven't announced the name of the CD.
Oh, Antics is the name of the CD, and we'll be hearing a cut off of Antics. So it doesn't bother you that we get paid the same, huh? Yet you put in half a syllable for every
that's not true though
for every yeah, dictionary of words
because
I put
when
in.
The calls start coming in
there you go well, yeah. That's why you won't let this us is, go to the calls
yeah, yeah,
when,
we'll
when you guys were on TV I was listening to this guy
yeah oh okay
but you Bob, were making me laugh
all right save Andrea
dance out of bed
Andrea you're 18
yeah
what's up
I've been with my boyfriend for, like, a year and a half now, and I feel like I'm, like, really dependent on him, and
how
I don't know
he?
If it's really healthy.
You're 18. How old is he?
He's 19.
19. And what do you mean dependent? What do you mean dependent?
I'm sorry. I really can't hear you that because you guys keep cutting out.
Let's cut our losses. Let's move forward. She's dependent on her 19-year-old boyfriend.
We'll find out what that means. It's 18-year-old lingo. Like what?
Like he'll treat me really bad sometimes and be really mean to me, and I'll just kind of take it. And, like, I know I'm an attractive girl and I can find other guys. I just feel like I have to be with him for some reason. And I
right, because he's a bad boy.
Well, because your dad may have been sort of treating you the same way, and that's your idea of what closeness and intimacy is.
Yeah,
and that's not okay. That's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing. And unfortunately, when you've been traumatized by your parents as a child, strangely enough, those things that are so traumatizing to us becomes attractive, like insanely attractive, like you're saying, you have to be with it.
Yeah.
And if you've had that history, you should really learn how to read those attractions and maybe stay away from people you're super attracted to that way, because it will be the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. What part of Missouri are you calling from?
St. Charles.
Okay, so I'm sure there's a therapist on every corner of St. Charles,
well,
Missouri.
I've been to a lot of therapy since I
you
was
have.
Younger. They
you
diagnosed
have.
Me as bipolar. Like, I come from a broken home and, you know, the typical broken
your dad,
home.
Was your dad abusive?
Yeah, he was pretty abusive.
Physically and sexually or just physically?
Just it was physically and mentally, basically.
Yeah, refreshing these days.
No sexual
to hear
abuse.
About physical
yes.
abuse. Wow, well, that's so quaint.
It is quaint.
It's quaint. Sending out a windbreaker, Andrea. Give your dad something, too. Just physical abuse.
Oh, yeah.
He's father of the year. 3 years running in Missouri.
But, Andrea, maybe get back to the therapist and realize that you need to break this cycle of compulsion with these bad guys. And
yes,
at 18, by the way, it's
not
an unusual thing for an 18-year-old to need to do this. But if you can't get it out of your system, it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Best thing. You have sons, Drew. You want to get them laid, right? You tell them
that's
to
top priority. Yeah,
you tell them to be bad boys.
Oh yeah, tell them to brood.
Tell them to brood. Tell them to
wear black and look at the ground and kick the dirt.
No, once in a while they just got to punch their locker. Just punch it, and the girls come up like, "What's wrong, Cody? What are your kids' names?" I don't remember the kid's name. Whatever the kid's
Kyle.
Name.
Kyle.
Riley. What's wrong? And it's like, damn, you wouldn't understand. And, you know, they make that proclamation. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get my kid a shirt that says, I can't let you in. Dear ladies, I'd like to, but I can't let you in. And they're going to be, but why? Why? It's just t-shirt. I'll write it with a Sharpie. Probably be misspelled. They'll all be wanting to get in. Please let me in. I can't. I can't chance.
I got to do this by myself.
There's certain things a man has to do. About it. You're 15. I know. Okay. Yeah, Drew, do that. Get him like a windbreaker.
Immediately. Windbreaker? No, windbreaker. Cool.
No, a leather.
It's a t-shirt.
A leather windbreaker.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, get him a t-shirt that says, I'm sorry, ladies, I can't let you
ladies.
In.
Ladies.
and then on that's on the front. On the back, it says, because you wouldn't understand.
Jason, 18.
Yes.
What's up?
And then other than that, it says, and by the way, it's rambling time. I have to ramble. Chick, hymen explode when they just come walking on a
where's
campus.
Where's that going to be written, though? It's rambling.
It's the tail. Yeah, it's as you tail. Pull it out, you pull it out and it's the knockout punch. Jason?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up? You're 18.
Yeah, I just have to say I probably am you guys' first black caller.
No. Come on now. We have a few.
No, well, we get hundreds a night, but we never let him throw. It's Drew's policy. He's told me not to talk about it on the air. I just feel like I'm going to explode if I don't tell somebody. So I don't know. Jason, he said, no black guy named Jason. It was cool. And, well, you got burned, Drew. All right, go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry about Drew's policy.
Yeah, I just want to say I love you guys. But anyway, I've
been going
out with this girl for about 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And we've been having sex about 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I basically, she wants to take it further and have a big relationship. She's 20, I'm 18.
But why ain't you got no play, player?
Oh, please.
But anyway, she's talking about marriage and all that other stuff.
Ooh, boy.
I'm really not into that.
All right, well, here's the thing, and you guys chime in, but show me a woman who's dying to get married real early, and I'll show you someone who's sort of looking for a life preserver, trying to get away from something, trying to escape something.
But in a way, she gives you a perfect out, which is rather than having to have long discussions about are we going to have a relationship or not, you can immediately go to, I am nowhere near marriage.
Right.
And if that's a deal breaker for her, then off she goes. Now, if she then downgrades a little bit to, okay, well, let's just have a relationship, well, what do you feel about that?
Yeah. What if she took the pressure off you, Jason?
I think it would be all right. I'm just...
you're just looking to have sex, right?
Yeah, but... Okay,
yeah, but 18-year-old, that's what defines a relationship for 18-year-old.
No, I know, but don't get her pregnant.
Where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy. For chizzy.
True. Wait, who is that?
That's Drew. And
no,
again,
come on.
I grew up in Rancho Santa Margarita, so I've been around a lot of white people, and the nigga, you got to stop that.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Come on. True. You don't do that. There's someone with it.
I'm just playing.
All right. You grew up in Rancho Santa Margarita. By the way, how many towns, how many names does the town need? Rancho, Santa, Margarita. Really? Should there be a fourth one on there? Okay. So Jason, you cannot get her pregnant. And by the way, if she's a little nutty, this is a kind of broad that tricks you into getting her pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be careful. I mean, you're having sex 5, 6 times a week. She puts a hole in the diaphragm or whatever it is, doesn't take her pill. You got to be in charge of this. If she says, I'm taking the pill, she may screw up and try to hook you in.
Also. There might also be like a motive of some kind. Like, do you know everything about this girl?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, why would you, outside of being like a life preserver, like just insecurity, there might be a concrete reason. There might be something in her life that makes her feel compelled that she has to lock down a guy right now.
What about it, Jason? Do you know anything?
I think her parents broke up. I'm not really sure. She has... like 2 stepdads, I think.
Oh. Yeah. Don't be a player hater. Please, stop
talking down to him.
That's the life preserver thing that we're talking about here. And more importantly, she sounds like she's a trauma survivor and has a lot of stuff going on. But be that as it may, she has sort of given you the perfect, I don't want to say out, but by getting crazy, you can say, look, this is a boundary I can set. I'm not getting married. I'm 18. Got a long life ahead of me. Maybe a relationship, but the reality, 18-year-old relationship for a male is about the sex, and if she wants to have something,
enough, Drew.
But she's going to have one of these things where it's going to be too intense.
And Drew, I'm just cutting you off, scared you're going to drop the end.
You guys haven't even asked him about
keeping
his feelings.
Real.
I mean,
no, he keeps saying he just wants to have sex. He said that a couple times. Yeah, he said he wouldn't mind having a relationship, but I just want to have sex. But 18-year-old male, that's sort of typical.
Oh, yeah. Well,
all right, let's take a question for the band. By the way, Darren.
Yes.
32.
Yes, good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Adam, Drew, first off, and, I have to tell you guys, just like everybody, that I've been a big fan for many years and totally enjoy your humor. And
you're gay.
And definitely not.
Thank you.
And I just had a question for Interpol, if I could ask them.
Hang on, if I could just interrupt Darren for 1 second.
Yeah.
Anderson high tonight? He's on speed? What's going on here?
He's just happy with the fingers, probably.
He's gone nuts.
Well, the opportunity was just there a couple times, that's all. Yeah. And Darren is a little gay sounding.
Yeah, but you're usually not that far off.
All right, leave him alone. Go ahead.
Wow, gay and on speed, huh?
Way off. Anderson's on speed. You're gay.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. You a Mormon?
Yes, right. I am.
Yeah,
there you go. You got one. All right.
Yeah, you got one.
Hey,
hold on a second. We do virtual Adam, in which I don't need to be here.
Right.
But Drew, I think you could be replaced by a pirate's parrot. You really could.
Yeah, why not?
Let's back off from the mic there for a second.
Right, here we go.
And Anderson, can we use a virtual Drew?
I got so many, and I don't have.
Yeah, just hit them all. Hit them all.
Where is he?
Darren.
Yes.
Sorry, there. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey,
quiet down.
Interpol. I just got a question for you. I noticed that your guys' sound kind of, you know, resembles Joy Division, maybe a splash of the Smiths in there somewhere. And I'm just curious what your musical influences are.
Oh, Carlos, you want to feel that? Too many to really give you an accurate representation of where those musical influences are working with us musically. I guess that's just not the way we write our songs.
Well, who'd you listen to growing
up?
More
importantly, we all write the songs together as four different people, and we all have different, like, favorite bands, and all come from kind of slightly different musical backgrounds. So none of us favor, in the long list of bands that we love, those two bands that you mentioned, like, at the top of those lists. But even if we did, it would still only be one person of four that was into it. Well, so, I mean, it's a lot of different influences that affect.
Paul,
like,
give us your top few bands that you enjoy.
Oh,
old or new?
He's just a dick.
Rolling Stones, Beatles, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Nirvana, Jane's Addiction.
All right.
Cecil Taylor.
Eclectic. Carlos, what about you?
Off the top of my head, The Cure, Dead Can Dance, Depeche Mode, Iron Maiden.
Wow.
Metallica.
Mixed batch. Darren?
Hey, I just wanted to say, though, Interpol, you guys are great. I've been playing the crud out of the Bright Lights, Turn on the Bright Lights CD, and I'm excited for the new one. Are you guys going to release, like, a live album or a live DVD or something that we can catch you guys off of?
There's no plans of that nature anytime soon.
Okay.
Hey, Darren.
Yes?
Do you have any callers you were influenced by?
Because other people.
Smith's
vibe going on in his calls.
Adam, I got to tell you, man, I totally appreciate your fart humor. I mean, you know, I'm 32.
Thanks, buddy.
I should probably not be giggling over farts, but
yeah, I'm 40.
As soon as I hear one, man, you make me giggle, dude.
Thanks, everybody.
Sure thing.
All right. Everything from Darren sounds like it's at the beginning, it said, boy, this is going to feel good. And then, it's like, it's a. Starts off good, but goes a little south right at the end. You know what I'm saying? All right. Thanks, Darren. Interpol here tonight.
Well, Anderson really made the point for you. You know, so Adam, he made it such that he didn't have to have any drops.
Yeah.
And it could have been like, I was here. Yeah.
Well, that was a question for the band, yeah. So that wasn't a fair representation.
He's gay.
Drew. Interpol in here tonight. Antics, name of the new CD, which is out tomorrow, which is tonight. After midnight. Drew, you okay, buddy? You're gonna swallow your tongue if you yawn any harder over there. It's great. It's fantastic doing a radio show every night where you got a guy that basically looks like a bear that just came out of a cave. I mean, you have to do the novelty size, like the hippo size yawn. You couldn't
painful
just put your hand over your
away.
Mouth or something. Crack your neck. Like, what's going on, Drew?
These guys
just came from Rome, you know.
Look at them.
Yeah, you came from Pasadena. What's your
excuse? It's a painful, uncomfortable erection
All right, quiet. Interpol here, and I have to take it. We're going to regroup.
Those are good.
Yep. We're going to regroup,
yep.
I'll tell you that.
Yep.
And we'll be right back after this.
Your rectum falls out of your ass.
It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Interpol here tonight. Paul and Carlos both here representing the band.
Get the bottle.
Seth MacFarlane is coming in tomorrow night. He is the family guy. Drew, very pumped up. Going to be...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Drew's going to be representing in this new season of The Family Guy. So
you're going to be one of the voices on The Family Guy?
So far, I've played a dermatologist. They talked about playing, awesome. Playing the devil.
Oh, we're huge fans of that show.
We are, too.
Yeah. Huge, huge fans.
Yeah?
It's huge the Russ fans? I've been looking for.
Yeah? All right. Yeah.
Huge fans, I think it's an overstatement.
Well, I'm a huge fan. So I'm a huge fan.
No, well, then you'd probably know my episode where I...
Which one?
I played the voice of death.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I did. I saw Thank that you. Repeatedly.
Thank you very much. All right. So Seth will be in talking about that tomorrow night. And we're going to hear something off the Antics, the new CD from Interpol, which is out in about an hour and a half. And these guys are going to be at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset doing an in-studio signing coming up at 12 o'clock. So they're going to leave here about 11:30 and hustle it over there and see all you kids and sign your CDs.
Shall we hear a song?
Let's take a call.
A call.
Then we hear a song.
Beautiful.
All right?
Here we go.
All right. Let's talk to Melissa. Huh?
That's
what about
it.
This guy got in a car crash?
All right. Go ahead.
Nah. All right.
But that movie crash might have something to do with that movie Crash. Which was really good.
Huh. It was?
You know the whole psychological basis behind this movie Crash about how car crashes are somehow turn-ons to people?
Oh, really?
And people that get into car crashes try to relive their car crash but through a sexual experience.
Really?
So they show lots of scenes of them looking for wrecked cars and getting in them and like getting off on them.
Oh, my God.
It's like Cronenberg movie with James Spader.
Yeah.
Wow.
Came out in like 1999.
Yeah, wow. I'd heard of it, but...
it's so unabashed. It's amazing.
Is it good?
Oh, it's an exquisite movie.
It's pretty weird.
Wow.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's
all right. Now, well, I'll rent it. Uh-oh. And that means Anderson didn't like it. Anderson?
Oh.
You saw Crash?
Yeah, I thought it was brutal.
Brutal bad?
Brutal bad, yeah. I like the opening. I like the opening title, and that was about it. The music and the opening titles was great, and then he just missed it. I like Cronenberg, but he missed.
That's a weird... It's a weird movie.
All right. We'll agree to disagree.
Sex with gashes.
Very bold when you're in another part
And Rosanna Arquette is, like, handicapped, but hot.
Oh, I remember that.
She has, like, these weird crutches on, but, like, she looks hot.
That's because you're...
Yeah, you're in
Who is your sicko, Carl?
Oh.
Melissa?
Darn.
Hello?
What's happening? You're 16.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I want to say what's up. You guys are great. And I listen to you guys every single night.
Thanks.
All right. I've been with my boyfriend for about 6 months, and we've had sex. And it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. The intercourse.
Yeah.
Meaning it feels bad, or you just can't get aroused with it?
I can't get aroused with it.
Do you masturbate?
Yeah.
Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Do you have orgasms? No.
No.
Well, 16-year-old sex is often not so great for a female. Yeah.
It's great for a guy.
It's the same at 16 as 60 for a guy.
Yeah.
And that's the strange thing. For a woman, there's going to be an evolution.
But here's where it goes bad when you're 60. Chick's 58. that's where it goes bad for the guy. It's good. Yeah. It's good 16 to 60 if we can stay with the 16-year-old all the way through 60. That's good. But when you're with the 58-year-old and
How dare you?
Vagina looks like a piece of saddle leather. That's bad, Drew.
Because you've been...
let's face it.
Tanning it all those years.
Tanning that leather. Yeah. Good, though, if you can... Yeah.
I think you're perpetuating a stereotype.
You're right. Though. That's wrong.
Because I think there's a way that a woman can own into her own sexuality and become sexy because she's older.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more challenging for women than it is for men, I think.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like when old women talk about being sexy, and I like when fat chicks talk about being sexy. It's like, okay, out of the way. I got to find a hot chick. Go be sexy over
those
there.
Those two terms are not necessarily in what's the word I'm looking
mutually
for?
Exclusive?
Mutually exclusive with hotness.
Yeah, I know, but guys would like to err on the side of hotness. And, sorry.
Here's the problem.
My sack would like to err on the side of hotness. It always does.
Wait. Your biology errs on the side of reproductive potential. And so you're always going to be attracted to symmetry and youth because that's just the way it is. But if you're actually intimately involved with somebody and they're somebody you really are into, you'll still be into them at an older age as a young age.
Yeah.
So
they had like a hot friend or something. Yeah, that's
well,
the point.
Well, sort of, but no, I that has to do with love and stuff. But yeah, right. I'm actually just talking about raw lust, which can actually find as its object certain other body types that are not necessarily conventionally known as hot, but
right,
are nonetheless hot because the people who occupy those forms make themselves hot by the way they carry themselves.
Yeah, like Roseanne Arquette with a stroke cane.
Get the butt.
You know
off.
What I mean? It's a little unconventional, but it's still a turn on.
Get
yes?
the butt off. I feel bad for the caller who totally
no,
was, lost.
All right, no, don't
in,
worry.
In the theme of get the butt off.
She's I back. Just, yeah.
Maybe lube would be a suggestion
oh,
for this young lady.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah.
Here's the deal about 16 and female. It's rare to have an orgasm,
yeah,
and it's often that it just doesn't feel that great.
Yeah.
And plus, you're dealing with a 16 or 17 year old guy who may not exactly know what to do.
Forget it.
And even if he did, for a 16 year old female, the biology isn't syncing up just yet, typically.
Yeah.
It's around 20 to 22 when things really start to kick in a little bit for most. Now, yeah, I know there's 10% of women out there going, well, I've been having orgasms since I was 8. Yes, 10%. But for the most part, at 16, it doesn't necessarily feel
particularly good. The body is willing, but the vagina is weak.
Yeah. Okay.
At 16.
But my question, though, always becomes, well, why are you having sex if it doesn't feel good?
Yeah, that's pretty young. That? It is pretty young.
Jeez.
But I mean, but some women at a much, you know, some women get pain with sex, period.
Yeah.
So it might not be something that's going to go away when she's older, or it may well
say pain.
Be.
I don't know if she's having pain, though. It's
just
not
doesn't get sexual.
She said it didn't
aroused.
Feel good.
But I said, does it feel bad or just not get aroused? She goes, I just don't get aroused.
Oh, okay, fine. Then you're absolutely, yeah, it's totally the guy's not.
Well, no, it's not just guys. 16-year-old females don't have much response with intercourse. They just, no matter if who's the guy doing it.
Yeah.
I never had sex with a 16-year-old.
So. Melissa? Yeah. Yeah. He'd go 14, 15, skip 16, and go right to 17. Mm-hmm.
Or just 15.
That all I right. did.
Melissa?
Yeah.
All right, so maybe you should not have sex with him if it doesn't
no,
feel
I'm
so good.
No, I'm not going to.
The guy's listening. He's driving his moped off a cliff right now.
We totally ruined it for him.
I would put a hit out on me, by the way, if I was him.
I'll
kill
like
a Corolla with my bare hands.
How old is the
son
guy?
Of a bitch?
How old's the guy?
He's 17.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely want
does,
to kill
does he give you oral sex?
No.
That's a place to start, the exploration.
Yeah,
but if he can't do it
properly,
then, I mean, that's a sophisticated art form
that's a high order, yes.
Decades.
Got to start somewhere.
Decades.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, ladies. If the guy isn't sort of sufficient or proficient at that, or at least it can do it well enough to move on to the next stage, don't let him move on. It's going to be like a video game. He's got to get through it before he can move on to the intercourse stage. You guys let him hop on top of you and want to know why that sucks. He's not qualified.
Right. Plus, he's not going to go back.
Oh,
He got past first stage.
No going back.
Yeah.
No. That horse is out of the barn, Drew. It's on top of someone. It's humping them savagely. Yes?
Oh, whatever.
All right. Interpol here tonight. Let's hear a song, huh?
Perfect.
Hey, let's break it down.
Break it down.
Let's go. Let's get it on. We got to get it on for Interpol. We're going to get it on. Chris, ready to get it on? Yeah. Antics, name of the CD. What song are we hearing? Ann wrote it down. Ah, first one. Slow Hands.
My incentive is romance. I watch the pole dance of the stars.
Yeah, Interpol, everyone, in studio tonight. Going to be down at the Virgin Mega Store signing the new CD, Antics, which is out in about an hour, 19 minutes. So they'll be there at midnight. They'll be ushered out of here about 11:30 and hustled over there. Yes?
Perfect.
All right. We'll take a break. Mm. But you know what? I'm going to do some good radio here, Drew. I'm going to tease a call. Jane?
This is great radio.
Well, I think it's better than great. I think it's what you call scintillating.
Hello?
Jane, you're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was in a car accident about a...
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been prescribed a Vicodin and Soma, and I get like 30 pills of each every week.
Every week.
Give me the pills, Skipper.
What'd you get? What was your injury?
Well, I had back surgery when I was 14.
Sexual
abuse.
Were you sexually abused?
No.
Physically abused?
No.
It's a car accident, right?
So, well, what was the
back injury for? Gymnastics?
No,
ice skating?
I was moving. We were moving across country, and I was moving like something that was too heavy, and I had a congenital like back disorder or whatever, where my nerve canal was too small or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you had back surgery at 14. All right, hold on a second. Oh, and now she's getting strung out on stuff. Oh, see, here's the thing. Here's what we learned from doing this show. We just play the odds. Anyone we ever talked to who had back surgery under the age of 50 for, you know, wasn't crushed by an I-beam or ran over by
an 18-wheeler,
a skip loader or something. Or anybody who's on disability, we never trust them. So well, something's up.
And she's an addict. We know she's an opiate addict. An opiate addict already has a risk of trauma.
Right.
And you add in the back surgery. It's like,
right.
What's going on?
But you could add something going on. Drew says no. All right, so we'll get back with Jane and her car crash and her back injury and her 30 pain pills a week or maybe more. And I don't know if she's an addict. She just wants to know if it's okay.
Oh, she's an addict.
All right, all that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, we got Carlos and Paul here tonight from Interpol. Antics, name of the CD, going to be down at the Virgin Mega Store on Sunset at midnight, and that's when the CD drops, and they will be signing your CD. That's what they call it, Drew.
Sounds like a testy dropping.
Yeah, it's a undescended CD.
So, Jane, let's stay with your question, which is, are you addicted? So, do you have a family history of alcoholism?
Yeah, my dad and my mom.
All right, and have you ever been addicted to anything else?
Well, I wouldn't
say. All right. Drew here says yes.
Okay.
And by the way, here's what it sounds like. Drew, just ask whatever question.
Are you a family
yes, 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 yes.
You're a bit.
Now, the person
else?
Could be saying no. I never know. But Drew just hears yes. Why do you ask, Drew?
It's a good question. Because you know what? I smell it. I know.
You know what you're like? You know what you're like? You're like a cop. Do you know how fast you're going, son? You think he's asking?
That's right.
He's going to tell you, officer, I was about
right. Exactly right.
You're going 95. Yeah, why ask?
Because he knows. Yeah. Well, it's for the benefit of the other listeners. I know.
I like the cop who talks too much. Son, what I'm going to have to ask you to do right now is please step out of the car for me.
I have a question.
How about just get out of the car?
I have a question.
Okay, right now, you know, I'm going to have to ask you for your license right now, okay?
I have a question.
What is about the extra talk the cops give you? Are they buying time? They feel bad? How about give me your license or step out of the car? Okay, at this time, son, I'm going to have to ask you to reach into your right hip pocket and take your license out of your alligator skin wallet and then go ahead and hand it through the open window to me, okay, right now? Okay? Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Yes.
How come? I've seen 1,000 cases like Jane. I know the story inside, and I know exactly.
Wait,
hang on. Relax.
Yes.
So I know I can sort of predict exactly what's going on. I know what's going on.
Right.
Why is that obnoxious? But it's cool if John Edwards knows what my grandfather's hair looked like.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But why? Well, I know this as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And that's sort of it's intrusive.
Yeah, but I'll
John
tell
Edwards,
you why.
Is
tell
it
you
magic?
Why.
That's cool. Why?
I'll tell you why. Because your diagnosis involves work. It involves like stopping something that you like, doing an in-house treatment, you know, discipline and whatever. Nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
People would rather just communicate through the dead or look at some Ouija board or something
or
like
have the
that.
Evangelism. I've just had the Phil is just evangelical.
Dr. Phil, just pure evangelism.
Yeah, just whack you with the palm.
I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you. Oh, good.
Yeah, here no, it is. I think a lot of these TV shows, like Dr. Phil, are the secular version
of evangelism.
Of a preacher.
It's the Great Awakening. Yeah, absolutely. That's
either
what
way, look, I'm going to cure you in like 18 minutes.
Yeah, and then you bring them back. Go, I'm cured. I'm cured, doctor.
Right. Like to tag these people like sharks and then fall them around and see what happens.
5 minutes. Are you kidding?
All right, Drew. Come on. Don't be jealous. Jane, it's such a turn off.
I'm
jealous.
I'm outraged. Right, okay. It's a little different.
Still a turn off. Jane?
Yeah.
Both parents alcoholics.
Does that mean tonight? No.
No, nothing. Just oral.
I wouldn't say my mom was an alcoholic. She went to AA meetings, though.
Yeah, that was. She wouldn't be an alcoholic. She wouldn't be in an AA meeting if she weren't.
What was she doing at the AA meeting if she wasn't an alcoholic?
Well, when my parents got divorced, she just kind of started going. So I don't know.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic, Jane. How long have you been on the 30 pills a week at the Vicodin and the Soma?
Hold on a second. I got to recreate. You know, we have the world's dumbest college, but I wouldn't say my mom's an alcoholic just because she attended regular AA meetings. Well, what happened? Well, my parents broke up. She started going.
I used to go to AA meetings when I was like really young just because I had a friend that was going. And,
really?
They're pretty interesting experience.
You're cruising chicks, though. That's different. And if you're going to go to that meeting, go to the CA one in West Hollywood. There's hot chicks. CA is much hotter. Write it down.
Thanks.
It's on Doheny. I'll give you the address. It's hot chicks.
All right, so Jane, how long have you been on the 30 pills a week?
Like a month and a half.
Month and a half. And the thing about Soma at a month a week, it is a very difficult drug to get off of. There's something called akathisia that develops. You feel like you're going to just fly out of your skin. You get an upper extremity limb movement disorder where you kind of want to punch things. And it's a very strange withdrawal. And then opiates leaves you with a very intense feeling of loss and what's called dysphoria, like you're really grieving something. And it's not something you're likely to, well, in fact, if you were to come to me and ask for help, it's not something I could do outside of a hospital.
Really?
You have to be detoxed in a hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Only 30 a week, though.
That's prescribed to her, too, though.
Yeah,
so that's how everybody gets addicted from Vicodin. It's almost
she's only doing like 4.2 a day or something. You know,
30 a week is what, 7 a day, right?
Oh, because 4 times 7, yeah,
it's gonna be four a day.
Yeah, it's 4 and change a day, 5:35. Yeah,
it's gonna be. She's gonna have withdrawal at 6 weeks.
Hey, Jane.
Yeah.
Okay, so both your parents were alcoholic, and now you're hooked on the pills. So maybe Drew's
time
right.
to stop. Time
Can
to
you stop on your own?
I haven't really tried yet. I would say that's what I was worried about, is if, like, I would have a problem, like, getting off of them, or...
It's going to be tough, and...
Should she try?
Yeah, you should definitely try. You should have somebody help you do that and monitor, but I, again, if you step up, the next step is going to be 10 a day very quickly, and then you're really in, and it's going to be extremely difficult to stop at that point.
Does it work if she weans herself off?
You really just got to stop.
Really?
Yeah, but
stopping cold turkey would give you these withdrawal symptoms, right?
They don't wean. They're just, people don't wean off these drugs.
But if they could, would it be a good way to do it?
Yeah, if you could. But people just don't. I've never seen weaning work, ever, and I've tried to...
I'm having the same problem with Tylenol PM.
Can you wean off the Tylenol?
That you can wean, because you won't...
I don't know. I'm trying.
But Tylenol PM can be tough, but you got to watch it with the booze, because it'll get in your liver, right, Drew?
Yeah, the Tylenol. That's true.
Yeah, everything goes in the Tylenol.
But I'm just thinking about Jane here for a second. The deal is, it's, you know, she needs to really realize that addiction is about a progressive disorder. You used to be addicted to something else. Now you're getting out of the opiates. The whole is a very specific definition. A, biological disorder, genetic basis. You have the family history.
Yeah.
B, ongoing use in the face of consequence. And then C, denial. And you've sort of been maneuvering with the denial, and mom's not really an alcoholic, just goes to AA meetings.
Right.
You meet all the criteria. So
she's just cruising chicks.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then now the back surgery at 14. 14-year-olds don't normally just pull back, you know, require surgery for moving
a beacon's box. Definitely find a traumatic past.
All right. There you go. There's your news, baby. Sorry. Interpol in tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Paul and Carlos here tonight from Interpol. Antics, name of the CD. It's going to be out in a little less than an hour. And the guys are going to be over at the Virgin Megastore on Sunset, right at the beginning of the Sunset Strip, signing your newly purchased Interpol CD.
Nice.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Let's break it down.
Let's get it on. Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy in here tomorrow night. Drew's going to... Drew... Warm up that ass-licking tongue. because there's going to be a lot of ass licking going on here tomorrow night.
You're going to vomit.
It's going to be huge. Yeah.
He's a young guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's probably mid-30s.
I'm going to make him do all those voices.
Oh, that's yeah.
Which one is he?
Now, he's all of them.
Except
no, but
a,
the son is
Seth
Green,
he's not Chris,
right?
And he's not Lois, and he's not the daughter.
No.
The daughter is the Mila woman Kunis. From that yeah. 70s show, correct?
That's right. But he's everyone else.
He is the
he's
neighbor.
Brian and the baby.
He's the baby. He's
oh, Brandon. It's going to be great when during the commercial he has to call Drew's kids as Stewie, leave the outgoing message on their cell phone.
Oh, I'm bringing in recording equipment tomorrow. What are you talking about?
All right. Zoe, I wish you'd show as much interest in this show as you do in Seth MacFarlane, Drew. Yeah. Don't answer. Just think about it. Okay? All right. Zoe?
Hi.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
My husband, I've been with him for 7 years, mm-hmm. and he's always been kind of quick to come, and the longer that we're together and the longer that we've been married, like, I think the more repressed he's been. Like, he doesn't want to do anything. Like, he's pretty much, like, missionary style, go to bed, and, like, I've offered, like, anal... everything else to him, like,
oh, by the way,
into watching porn, that kind of thing. He's not into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually when guys aren't into it, the more offering, the more uncomfortable it becomes and the more awkward it becomes.
Yeah, well, he gets mad at me. He's like, you're a mom now, you're a wife, like, you need to get over it.
Ew. Really?
Yeah, and
how
I'm like,
dare he?
I get home, I work at night, and I'll get home, and I'm like, I'll go down on him, and I tell him, you don't have to do anything, and he's just like, you knock it off, go to bed.
Wow.
Yeah. And I, hello, like, ladies. I would never cheat on him, I would never leave him, and I love him more than anything, but, and I tell him, and I try to tell him nicely, like, I, you know, like, let's keep it interesting, you know.
All right, well, let's do a little scratching here. Let's all get our quarters out. And get
are you sure
scratches.
He's faithful to you?
Yes, I'm totally sure he is.
Yeah, he would be, because the guys who are getting it on with the secretary are
extra
just
good.
Taking a wet nap to the dork and putting it in the wife as soon as they get home.
Yeah, yeah.
Right through the mail slot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because those are passionate men, like Drew.
But they're also the extra, they don't want to tip anybody off.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Good. Yeah, a lot of people assume, like, oh, he's not giving it to you. He must be giving it to someone else somewhere else.
No, no.
But no, they don't want to draw attention to
that. He'll be getting ideas from somewhere else as well, and then
it's that he wouldn't want to tip her off.
Yeah.
Why aren't you with me? They double down.
Saying,
do you think he might be gay then?
Well, no. Here we go.
He's got kids, maybe. So it can't be that.
No.
He works. He works construction all day long.
Oh, and, all right. Is he a big man or are you a big gal? You a big gal?
No. I take good care of myself. I used to be a stripper, and I've always taken good care of myself. I tell him, like, you know, I'll do pretty much anything for him. I will. Yeah. Like
go ahead.
I think some guys. The ultra-accommodating thing might be a turnoff, and maybe if you go for a different approach and maybe get tough or something, that might trigger something in him.
Yeah.
Is he fearful of your sexuality? Were you kind of wild at one time?
He gets very, like, when I was a dancer, I'm not anymore. I haven't been for years.
Hey, little Zoe, coming to stage. She'll give you a BJ. Sorry.
There's a Mercedes with lights on, parking lot, lights, blinds, D5, WR, Chelsea, stage 4, stage 4, Chelsea.
Ah, well, Mrs. Man's lunch. I like the traffic cop part of their job. They gotta go, hey, quit your grin and drop your lid and show the ladies you appreciate. Shelly, stage 4, someone lost a wallet. Businessman's lunch. Car with the lights on it. Because they have to be, you know, air traffic controller and carnival barker. You wear a lot of hats.
It's sort of like a school principal and carnival barker.
I think
right?
I can. Yeah. I think I can relate to the fact that a male might be intimidated by a female's robust sexuality.
Yes, guys are freaking out about that.
But also maybe just intimidated from the standpoint of saying that if I let her become this sexual monster with me, somehow she might cheat on me.
Right. It'll let something out of the bag.
It lets something that I can't control
right.
out of it. And maybe
guys definitely have that in them. But I wouldn't expect.
I have a theory.
I wouldn't expect that to be the guy to marry the stripper.
Right.
That's not that guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'll tell you what some guys do too. I heard you, Drew. I'm just deciding whether I agree or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of guys marry a sexual woman who has a history of maybe many partners or maybe a business where she was using her sexuality, and then try to close her down and contain her.
Yeah.
As if to erase the past. But it's like if I can turn you into a housewife, you know, domesticate, if I can domesticate the beast, somehow all the guys you took your clothes off in front of in the past, it's going to wipe it clean from their memory.
I'm with you 100%.
Thank
except,
you, Carlos.
Isn't that guy still
Hold on.
The guy?
There's no 100% and except. There's 80% and except.
I'm asking.
Unless it goes over 100.
Is it possibly also is it the case? I'm questioning. If I'm not 100%, there's one question. If I'm 95%.
All right, go ahead.
Is that the guy that would isn't that the guy that would still want her to be kind of wild with him alone?
No, because he's just trying to
shut her down
fire
everywhere.
And that way erase the memory of that past for her.
But then where's his sexuality then? How in what way is his like sexual need are his sexual needs being expressed?
By getting her.
Well, but his thing is he gets her. He does it. He does
missionary
stuff, which is what he likes. And he comes real fast, and that's it. He's fine. He's
and
good.
He doesn't have the libido that she has. I mean,
that's just a damn shame, then.
Yeah,
that is a damn shame because she deserves a man
that's
who can harness.
And I'm staying at the.
And we're going to be signing records at.
Yeah, we're out. They're out. No, Sunset Boulevard, baby. All right, so it's you got to communicate with the guy.
Yeah,
he is your husband. He's the father of your children. But here's what I'm saying. Don't keep approaching it with the, now I got in a French maid's outfit and I greet him by the front door. Don't keep pushing.
Maybe a slow build, real slow, just little steps forward. You know what we're saying, Zoe?
Yeah, I understand.
All right. What, did you strip topless and bottomless or just topless?
Full nude. Full nude in Vegas and in Hollywood.
Smacks a little something up. Where'd you work in Hollywood?
Oh, I'd rather not say. I worked everywhere. I worked at Little Darlings, I think, for a little while. I
Little
helped
Darlings,
open up that club. This was years ago, though, and I haven't been a dancer, and I don't dress provocatively, and I think you guys are kind of right, because he does try to make me feel bad. Like, he goes, you know, you don't need to act like that, and... You know, I'm only like that in the bedroom with him.
No, I know. He's intimidated by your sexuality and possibly by your past a little bit, and he's trying to sort of contain you and shut you down.
In a way, it's sort of an ideal situation for a little therapy because it's a sort of a specific issue that could kind of...
Yeah, but he's going to be embarrassed by it and not want to go into the therapist's office.
But here's the thing she has to understand is that for him... Let me ask her something. Wouldn't you please? This is kind of interesting. Zoe.
For you.
Yes.
What is it... Do you need to do some more... different things sexually with him in order for this to be a gratifying experience?
For me, I do. I need...
For you,
He thinks it's me. He thinks... And we've had a really good heart-to-hearts, not, like, fighting or anything, really good heart-to-hearts. And he's like, I really think that you have a sexual problem. He doesn't think it's just me with a crazy libido. He thinks that, like, my sexual needs and my fantasies are in some way unhealthy and not right. I don't know.
Well, you were a stripper, so it suggests you have some issues, but you're not suggesting anything outrageous. And you got to remember, for him, things are perfect. Things are right in the zone for him. So don't think that you're going to be doing things that are going to make things more interesting for him.
Yeah. And he's just, you know, he's in that, I worked a lot of construction with these guys, just waiting to die. Buzzards circling his genitalia. He's waiting to go. He's a little depressed, too. Guy's getting a little depressed.
How old is he? How old is he?
31.
Is he one of your
29?
Is he one of your Viking guys?
Zoe, how old is he?
He's 30. And he was just this week he was put on an antidepressant.
Okay.
That's going to screw up his sexuality.
Yeah, but the whole thing almost could be linked to the depression, right? All the apathy could be.
I think it is all of it's all the elements we discussed over the last 25 minutes on this call. Yes.
Interesting call. I mean,
Well, you remove the ex-stripper part, you got nothing. Okay, so he's like
some dudes peanuts. Are just boring.
It's like a peanut.
So work it out. Work it out. There you go. Godspeed. You kids are going to land on your feet. I'll tell you what. Andrew, we got Drew, this is why we need to be able to send out a windbreaker, a t-shirt or something.
Yes,
it's a nice
do.
It's a nice out.
How about just a basket?
We'll send you out a basket. Andrea?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Oh. Are you depressed?
No, I'm
are you asleep
right now?
You're asleep.
You're asleep. Okay.
You worried? And on the radio.
Are you worried that someone is going to hear you in the house?
Yeah, a little.
Okay. It says here you're a bisexual?
Uh-huh.
At 15, you're bisexual.
Well, yeah.
Hmm. And your mom is extremely homophobic?
Yep.
All right. All right. Hang on there. And we're never going to come back.
That sounded interesting. It's a shame that we couldn't hear anymore.
Well, let's see. Andrea.
Homophobic mother. Mm-hmm.
All right, you're going to need to, you understand it's a national radio program, and eventually you're going to have to talk.
Yes.
Okay. And you dragging out the very last letter of the word that you pronounce is not constitute more conversation. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, you're bisexual. Where's your dad?
Sleeping here.
Sleeping. All right. And your mother's homophobic. Is your father homophobic?
Yeah, but not as much as her, though.
All
okay,
right.
So why not don't you...
Don't tell her
don't
anything.
Don't tell her.
There you go.
Okay.
Unless you're angry at her and you're doing this to pay her back, which you probably are, except for you don't know you're doing it, although you'll realize it later on in life.
Right.
It's a loaded question, really, but yes.
It's not a question.
All right, don't tell her. Look, here's the whole deal. You're not supposed to tell your parents anything when you're 15, especially about your sexuality. You don't have to make these proclamations about what your junk you're into.
Heterosexuals do not proclaim what they were doing, but why would somebody proclaim something about their identity that they know is going to evoke something awful from a parent who is being unreasonable? Why would you do that?
Yeah, to pay them back.
Yes,
that's the answer.
Yeah.
Dad's a homophobic. Go ahead and pay him back.
Because mom's abusive, or abandoning, or
dad's,
whatever.
Dad's a racist and abusive. Say hi to Lucius. That's how it works. Dad, I want you to meet Lucius. He's on every team in the school. There you go. That's who I'm having sex with. Happy? That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's why you can't F with your daughter.
Yeah.
You can F with your son. He ends up just beating his kids. It's no problem. But if you F with your daughter, she'll bite you in the ass.
Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Just beating the kids.
Guys end up getting in fights and playing on the football team. But the daughters, hey, you're homophobic, they go lesbo on you. That's how it works.
No, but she's bisexual, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she
but here's the whole thing. She's not even bisexual.
Right.
That's a title she's given herself to piss off her mom.
Right.
And now because
she's 15, what does she know what she is?
Why?
Because lesbians too strong of a
no. She doesn't know what she is, but she's decided she's something that's going to make her mom angry, so she can announce it to her mom.
Yeah, and yes, lesbian is too strong for someone who's barely interested in women. She's only interested in women enough to piss her mom off.
And you're definitely sure about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Hold on, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been with a woman?
No, not.
All right. There you go, everybody. She's a full-blown lesbian.
She's going to announce that to mom at Thanksgiving.
Only woman she's ever seen nude is herself in a waist-high mirror in the bathroom, and it was foggy. Yeah, okay. She's a lesbian. I'm gay. That makes us all gay, by the way. Everyone's gay. Never been with anybody, but could be.
Wait till Thanksgiving. It's going to be great
know.
When you announce
and
it.
I tell my dad.
She has sexual thoughts about.
Eh, she does.
But that's
15. That's not bisexual.
Right. That's okay. Exactly.
The point everybody has sexual thoughts, especially women are very fluid that way. They can, go just about any direction at 15. Who would ever, it's tantamount to you saying, yes, I've had thoughts of killing somebody when I was on the road or
homicide.
I'm going to turn myself in and do some hard time.
Yeah.
Please. All right. All right, so this is it. She's trying to get back at mom. She'll figure out a way to do it. The thing I don't like about the whole situation is everybody in our society is like, you can't live a lie. This information people deserve. There's way too much emphasis put on sort of blurting out the truth. I want people to start shutting their yap and keeping their pain to themselves.
But what if she's interested in a particular girl, in her high school wants, you know, to do stuff with right. her, but is afraid to because her mom is homophobic. Maybe she's asking for advice on whether she should do it or not.
No, you're being far too kind.
I
if
am.
She, if she, and by the way, if you're interested in somebody, go ahead and pursue it. And yeah. just like Drew never told his folks anything. I mean, you were wildly banging the bejesus out of your 16-year-old girlfriend. Your dad had no idea what you were doing. He thought you were upstairs cracking the books. You were cracking the legs. Wide open. Drew, passionate man, by the way. Passionate. His passion flows like a mountain stream. And it's never stopped. No beaver's ever dammed his passion. I'll tell you that right now.
His passion.
And his passion his cannot passion. Be dammed. No. That's right. He's damned a few beavers. But his passion cannot be damned. All right. Let's hear an Interpol song, shall
that
we?
That sounds fantastic.
You ready to do that, Drew?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. This is off the Antics CD. You queued up there? Yeah, looking good. This one's called Evil.
Rosemary, heaven restores you in life. Coming with me through the aging, the fearing, the strife. It's the smiling on the package, it's the faces in the sand. It's the thought that moves you upward, embracing me with two hands. Right, we'll take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them now your pleasure's set upon slow release. On trial.
Antics, name and CD. Band's going to be down at the Sunset Megastore, at the Virgin Megastore in about 30, 9.5 minutes. Also doing a in-store on Tuesday down at Lou's Records on the 101 in Encinitas, heading down toward San Diego Way. And then Tuesday, does the door have to slam the second this goddamn door's open, by the way? All right.
That was Carlos's fault.
No, it's not your fault. It's everyone's fault, except for mine. Virgin Megastore in San Francisco out in on Tuesday. Thank you, Anderson. All right, guys. I was told we were cutting you loose at this break because you have to make haste down to the Megastore to meet all your hordes of fans. So good seeing you again.
Thanks. Thank you for having us. It was fun.
Our pleasure, and we'll see you soon, and we'll take a quick break and be right back without Interpol after this. Yeah, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor over there. Interpol has left the studio, and Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy is going to be in here tomorrow night. So, like I said, Drew, put on your ass-kissing shoes.
And then what about myself, me? What? My God, wouldn't it be marvelous if I turned out to be homosexual?
Yeah. Much more of that to come.
Oh, nothing but.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something about Seth, too. Dear, dear friend. Not a snob.
No.
A lot of people. Let me tell you what's wrong with this
guy's
goddamn
world. He's got a smile 24/7.
Let me tell you what's wrong. Well, he's high. Yeah. Let me tell you what's wrong with this world. There's a lot of folks that don't realize why they're where they are, which is to say, you know, Monica Lewinsky, that sack of douche, goes on the Kimmel Show, and she wants to talk about her handbags. And, you know, the idea of me giving a Hummer to the president, oh, it's forbidden. We'll not be talking about that. Listen, sweetie pea, that's why you're here. And so oftentimes, people don't realize what the hell they're doing there.
Yeah.
What do you think? You're just some hot chick who makes handbags and all of a sudden we're interested? No, you were performing oral on the president of the free world, basically. And that is that's newsworthy. That's why folks know your name. Do not kid yourself. And I just like the fact that people... So a lot of guys, there's a lot of like actors will come on and like, yeah, do the Bart Simpson.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah. Although that's a chick. But yeah. I don't do that. A lot of people don't bring this up. And I can't remember what the other one is, but there's a laundry list of crappy celebrities who are only really there for one reason. And ironically, that's the one thing they won't talk about. And that's the only thing there is to talk about with the idiot, because obviously they're not supposed to be there in the first place. Oh, yeah, Monica's handbags. Oh, they're taking the world by storm. She's so talented. She's such a talented seamstress. Like, look, you blew the president. Now we want to know about it. Come on the show, that's what you got to talk about.
We've had a number of those things where it's like the people want to know about their wife or something, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't ask him
about it. We won't talk about that. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's one of those celebrity things, and especially with the bands, like Jacob Dylan. No. His dad's Bob Dylan. Yeah, I know, but don't say anything. Really? Can't bring that up, huh? Why is it? Oh, by the way, does everyone have a laundry list of crap they won't talk about? Drew, where's your list of stuff you won't talk about?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Don't bring this up with Drew. No, that's very sensitive.
I want passion off the
list. Look, okay, listen, here's the deal. If you don't want us to bring stuff up or you're not willing to talk about it, then shut your pie hole and get the F off the show. Monica Lewinsky doesn't want to talk
about it. When did this happen?
Yeah, it was like a year ago. No. She was on Kimmel's show, and it was, don't talk about this. She wants to talk about her handbags. Oh, yeah. America's dying to know about your handbags. What do you use? You use a double stitch? What kind of thread do you use on those
Corinthian
sacks?
Leather or nog hide?
You nog hide, using vinyl. What do you use there? What's your stitch? By the way, listen, nutty broads, stop it with the handbags already. There's 3 billion that are currently in circulation. That's not enough? Chicks with their handbags. All right, Drew. I'm done with handbags. You know what I was saying, Drew?
You were in there for quite some time, too.
I was at we're at Kimmel today, and somebody else, like, I don't know, Paris Hilton's coming out with handbags. And I realized it used to be when chicks didn't really want to work, they became travel agents. It's like, all right, you book a few flights, and here's how travel agents work. Well, I book one flight for you and
one for me.
One for me.
Yeah.
One for you, one for me. fine. It's like half a job. You get inside. You get to meet with people. You make. You really don't make any money, but you end up flying around at a cut rate, and it's fine. That's what you used to do when, you know, you had a husband. He was a doctor. He was a lawyer. The wife wanted to feel like she was doing something. She became a travel agent. Now they're doing handbags, which is the new travel agent, except for it's even less. Now you're not leaving the house. You're doing zero now.
Somebody else is doing it, too.
That's right. Little Indonesian kids sweating away in a shop. You're cracking a whip. Fan very slowly turning in the window with the light coming through. I see that in all the movies. The fan, it's up there, the ventilation fan, but it's moving very slowly with the light coming through.
Right.
If I worked at that shop, I'd be like, hey, it's 140 degrees in here. Someone want to get that goddamn fan moving or turn it off?
Yeah, just
it's like bugging me. It barely moves. That's what it does in the movie. It's like, there it is, light streaming through the blades. It's big. It's up in the thing. Everyone's mopping their brow. No one turns the fan on. It's one of those movie things I don't think really exists. By the way, there's no speed on a fan that says barely turning. There's low. Even in low, you still can't see the blade. Right. It looks like it's turning backwards. It's going so fast. That's low, and then there's medium. There's no movie setting on the ventilation fan.
Right.
You open a sweatshop. Hey, we got to get a fan up there. Why? Because during the summer, it gets about 160 in here. All right, but it can't turn faster than 3 revolutions a minute. That's as fast as it's going to go.
It can't be fast enough to move air.
And we need a light source streaming through it. Yeah, so it looks like a good Bruckheimer film. Turn the fan on. Yeah. All right, let's break it down, Drew. Let's go. Really, is the fan broken? Why isn't it turning? This is why I couldn't work on a film and I couldn't work in a sweatshop. I would immediately be screaming about this fan that's not moving. And it's on. It's clearly on. It's not just being moved by the wind. It's on. It's just not really moving. Maybe later on someone's going to have to time it and climb through it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Bound to happen.
That's good to happen. Christina?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question. Me and my friend were watching a talk show, and she is a lesbian, and she hasn't came out of the closet to her parents yet. And we were watching a talk show, and there was a doctor on there, and the talk show was basically about people that say they were born gay. Mm-hmm. And the doctor on there said that there was like a chromosome or like a genetic thing in their brain that can develop before their sexual organ can develop. So like say their brain develops as a female and their sexual organ develops as a male, that they can be more, you know, sided with one side, like, oh, you know, if their sexual organ is a male but they have a female brain, that they're going to be more towards males.
Yeah, what about the gay gene?
That particular theory is very speculative. There are definitely people who have a biological basis to their homosexual orientation. They don't call this show. This show is called people who have been sexually abused, and that creates the change in their sexual orientation.
Well, but not a female brain. You're saying you get a female brain with male genitalia, therefore you're attracted to males because your brain is into males? You take a look at a PET scan of a female brain and a male brain beside the female brain.
Profoundly different.
Considerably smaller. it looks a lot different?
Profoundly different.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of how they process things, all very, very different.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. There's a large handbag section in the frontal lobe of most females.
Yeah, that's right. No, for instance, I just did this on Dennis Miller the other night where we showed PET scans of men looking at pornography and women looking at pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Men light up like a Christmas tree in the appetitive centers. We process, we make note of
you
very
call
powerful
them appetitive centers.
Appetite. We go from
appetite.
We make note drive centers. We make note very powerfully. Send that information out of the drive centers and create drive to sex. I mean, very powerful biology. Women get aroused, experience arousal, no drive.
Mm.
No drive. Unless
back it up.
Unless you get them in intimate conversation.
Uh-huh.
And then drive starts coming out. But looking at pictures, they get aroused, no drive.
Mm. So the blood goes to the parts, they experience arousal, but they're not going to do anything about it.
It's like they're not hungry. It's like looking at pictures of meals and going, oh, I can appreciate that. Must be good. I ain't hungry.
Right.
Yeah. Men are like, turkey, let's go.
Men attack the screen.
Eat. Let's go, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Right? But calm down, buddy.
You're scaring me.
Listen.
Yeah.
Why can't people accept those differences? Why is it so hard for them to deal with that?
I'll tell you why, because there's something about, well, I'll tell you a couple of things. It's usually the angry left, because the conservative right is always explaining, look, there's a difference between this this Middle Eastern culture and our culture. There's a difference between men and women. There's a difference between gay and straight. And the angry left always says, no difference for anything. And they just get angry, even if there's good differences oftentimes. And it's weird because it's a group that wants to celebrate diversity by screaming there's no difference between anybody.
There's a woman in the studio.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, there's a woman in the green room when I came off and I said, and she goes, that's very interesting. I go, yes, I think it's important that we understand our differences so we can appreciate what one another is experiencing. Otherwise, that's where problems develop. We don't appreciate the perspective of another person.
Right.
And maybe it could be translated to other cultural orientations. And then now she goes, No. People are all the same. She goes, I've been to lots of different countries, and there's something about humans that's all the same. I go, yeah, I'm not saying that's not the case. There's some common thread, but there's some profound differences, too.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't want to accept that. I guess if you start talking about differences in people, then you start, there's this perceived, well, now we're getting into segregation and we're going to start separating and then we're going to start labeling and saying, well, there's a difference. Yes, these people are better than those people and those people need to be put in internment camps.
No.
No, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
Chris, you'd be first to go, by the way. I make you the mayor of the internment camp.
Great. He will call his internment camp Boobville.
Yeah. The good news is the morning trumpet sounds at noon, so you get to sleep in, and it's just warehousing. You'll just be hanging around. You'll be shooting bumper pool and drinking Schaefer beer all day long. You'll be like those natives from Bikini Island where we're testing the nuclear bombs. Hey, you won't be doing anything. I'll be subsidizing the whole thing.
All right, cool.
And that way, you'll have the peace of mind of knowing that you got a nice cot to sleep on and plenty of beer during the day, and I'll know where you are. That's my plan. And we'll send in some junior college counselors to make
a facsimile of a junior college.
Right. Eventually, we'll turn into a junior college.
Very quickly.
Yeah. We'll put a hacky sack in there, an ashtray, and soon we'll become
classes at noon.
Become a junior college. Maggie?
Yeah.
You're 21?
I am.
What's up?
This evening, while I was at work, a coworker offered to pay me for a blowjob.
A coworker, same level, or somebody that you are in?
Well, I work in a restaurant, and I'm a server, and he is a dishwasher bus person.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, and how much?
$50.
$50?
Mm-hmm.
That's not look great in her TGI outfit. really, $50?
Yeah.
And so how was it?
Things have changed at Downtown Disney.
Yeah.
What's that?
He's calling from Anaheim. Did you give him the BJ?
No, I did not.
No. How did you respond?
I'm kind of strapped for cash right now, so I considered it for a while.
Seriously?
Yeah.
$50.
But he was like waiting for me in the parking lot, and he was like, so are you going to do it? And I was like, no, I'm going to go home, dude. So I did it.
All right. Let me, we got a ton of questions. Yeah. First off, you're a waitress.
Yeah.
Disneyland, right?
And by the way, hold on a second.
I don't work in Disneyland. I work in Irvine.
Look, first off, people like that. You know, we get into this another thing I'm angry about. It's all the semantic stuff where it's like, she's a rape victim. No, rape survivor. Rape survivor. Okay. You're a waitress. Not waitress. Server. Server is much more demeaning than waitress. I know I called you waitress, so I need to be corrected, right. But... server.
That's to say, I am.
Hey, bitch, wash my feet and then go get me a blooming onion.
Right.
A server. It sounds like you're not getting paid at this point. You're just sitting around. You're wearing a vest with no shirt underneath it, and a fez, and like a puffy pajama bottoms.
Right,
and
I
here's how I get you.
That's the king and I.
Yeah. I do that. You come out like the old Brenner. All right, Maggie.
Yeah.
As a server.
Okay.
Don't you get tips every night?
Yes.
And shouldn't you be walking with, you know, $150 worth of cash every night?
Unfortunately, no. I do not. Not on a Monday evening.
All right, but what'd you walk with tonight?
$75.
And because it's hard to tell someone to give you a BJ for $50 who doesn't want to hit a crack. You know, they already got $75 in their pocket,
This guy picked up on something with Maggie.
Yeah.
That she would even consider it.
And he's a dishwasher. And have you flirted with him? Have you talked to him at all?
Yeah, we've been hanging out. He's actually a cool guy. But
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sounds like a great guy.
And and you guys have hung out. Now, why is he paying you for the BJ? Like, why not just go out on the date, buy the surf and turf, and get the BJ? Oh, this is cheaper. You're right. Yeah, I mean, would you go out with him?
No.
Well, not now you wouldn't, but before this?
No.
Why not?
He's kind of dirty and scandalous and kind of gross. So.
Would you consider having a sexual relation with the guy?
Have I ever? No.
But you consider that. Have you prostituted yourself before?
No. No, no.
And why
why is that a funny question?
Prostitution is ridiculous. It seems.
Yeah.
Well, you were contemplating money for sex. That's prostitution.
Yes, contemplating, but I did not act upon this thought.
Right, but you used to...
Please, how
dare you? But you said you were close to it. Like,
yeah, if he'd gone up to 55, maybe. Yeah. Hey, Maggie... we want to know what made him think that it was okay to even come close
right.
to this subject.
With you.
I think after we close at night, you know, a lot of jokes start flying around. And I think he just got to the point, I think his girlfriend left the country and he's just really desperate and thought maybe he was comfortable enough asking me, but I don't know.
No. He would ask you for a date then.
Yeah. Some you're giving something off that says victim or low self-esteem
right.
or something.
Right.
Anything like that?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, look, then. You didn't give him the B, but you did contemplate it for 50
Which is,
bucks.
That's bizarre. It's bizarre.
It's bizarre when you're talking about the kind of money that you would make in half a shift on a regular night.
And it's bizarre you wouldn't go to your manager instantly with that kind of crap.
Well, if you're screwing around and they're having some drinks or something, fine. All right, so...
It just kind of struck me in a weird way.
All right, but it got to the point where he was actually out in the parking lot waiting for you?
Why weren't you fearful? Yeah. Why weren't you frightened?
Hold on, Drew, do you let a fart go on? Drew punctuates his statement, the little gas. Why weren't you fearful? I'm fearful, by the way.
You should be. But why weren't you frightened by the guy waiting out
hell
there?
Was that?
Great, Maggie.
Drew, don't you have control of yourself?
I can't understand you.
All right. Listen, she didn't do it. We don't know if she's calling and just sort of bringing this up is here's the problem. Sometimes people call the show and they were this close to doing something, and other times people call the show and they were a mile away from doing something, but they don't couch it that way or they don't phrase it that way, and it's hard for us to tell. So on one side of her mouth, she's saying, well, I almost did this. On the other side of her mouth, she's saying, of course, I would never do this. We don't know which one it is. We're assuming you wouldn't have done it. And you're not as close as our screener said.
The guy, no, I got to say she was close.
There's something going on with her. Whatever it is,
we're
fine.
There. Yeah.
Drew farted. I got to clear out of here.
She should report to the manager, really. This is a sexual harassment. So.
All right. Don't talk. Just leave the guy alone. Don't say anything.
All right.
She's screwing around.
Nah.
They're talking. Nah. Leave him alone. I told you this.
Yeah, but he's gross and scares her.
All guys who wash dishes are gross. They handle Thousand Island their whole life. That's all they do. Their cuticles smell like onions. Ooh, you understand?
Yeah.
Nothing worse. Mm. And by the way, if I was clearing those plates, I'd be eating off those plates.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't take another bite into a cheeseburger that was almost spent.
With the French fries.
Fries, yeah. Onion rings. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Game on. And then once in a while, you run into that fruit salad that no one's gotten into.
Coleslaw.
Forget about it. You know what I did yesterday, Drew?
Can't wait.
Actually, Saturday, kept it real. I'll tell you what I did. I went to the, I was in the parking lot of the old McDonald's. Who had a farm? No, the old McDonald's I used to work at.
Yes.
In Studio City.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of staring at it. I was going to another market, but I just ended up parking right in front of the McDonald's. And I actually walked back around the back to where they keep the dumpsters where I ate all the filet of fish they told me to throw out one day and the apple pies. And I just stood there and I thought, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My heritage.
Yeah. This is me. This is where I come from. Keeping it real.
Drank it in.
Yeah. Drank it in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buzzaboo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Seth MacFarlane, the Family Guy guy, in here tomorrow night, and he will dance for us. He will do all those voices, I guarantee it. Yeah, because he knows where his bread is buttered. Yes, Drew?
Yes, he does.
Allie.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16.
Dr. Drew, I love your book, Cracked, by the way.
Thank you, Allie.
Okay, I am with somebody, sorry, I'm a little nervous right now.
That's all right.
With somebody who's a lot older than me, and I'm a virgin, and I'm really worried about having sex because I'm not as experienced, and I'm worried that I won't know what to do.
You're 16, and how old is he?
34.
Mm. Well, he's
criminal.
He's a criminal, yeah.
I'm jealous, but criminal. Where did you meet this guy?
Through family.
Yeah,
how do you think your family would feel about this?
Extra creepy.
Yeah, extra weird.
Yeah.
How do you think your family would feel about that?
They would be very upset. I know.
Because they're concerned about what that would mean to you.
Hold on a second. Unless you're one of those crazy nationalities where this kind of stuff is cool, in which case we don't care. Is that true?
No.
No, she said her parents would freak out.
Okay. All right.
As well, they should. The idea, not because there's something wrong with the guy or that they're concerned about what might happen to him.
Right.
It's they're concerned about what's happening to you.
Yes.
That a 34-year-old with a 16-year-old is exploiting.
And when we know this guy's not a good guy, no matter how good he seems to you.
Yeah. No.
There's something
no
wrong
way.
With him.
Something very wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like... It's kind of like when we're together, too. Like, we both know it's wrong, and we constantly say it, but we're like, okay, we really shouldn't do anything.
Well, here's the deal. Yeah, Allie, you're 16.
Okay.
It's not incumbent upon you to put an end to this the way it is the 34-year-old. It's why the 34-year-old has laws to urge them on to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. He's going to go to jail if he has sex with you.
All right. So, and here's the whole thing. There is no good ending for you and this guy,
no
especially
way.
After you have sex.
Ugh.
Then you get drawn in. He becomes a criminal.
Well, we're not... Not that this justifies anything, but we weren't going to till I was 18.
But then becomes even sort of creepier that he's going to raise you like veal until it's harvesting time.
Right.
Hymen harvesting time. Full moon. Time to harvest
the
hymen. Yeah, get the sickle out.
If you, I wish there's some way to sort of put you in the perspective of a 34-year-old Allie, 34 yourself, and look around at your peers and think, okay, one of these guys is going to be dating a 16-year-old. You just barf right there.
You know what my new DJ name is going to be? Dick Sickle.
Oh, God.
Dick Sickle. Yeah, Dick Sickle in the morning. 8:28 after 8 o'clock. Dick Sickle coming at you. Got traffic and weather. We're going to sickle size you guys later on. Sickle cell.
Sickle-ize.
Yeah, Dick Sickle. Yeah. All right, criminal. And then it gets really weird, creepy, and then sort of sad when it's like, but I'm just going to build a shrine to you for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Then who is that guy? Who is that 34-year-old that has to do that?
It's going to be 36, be 18. It's weird. It's creepy. Find some guy you go to high school with.
Please.
Beth?
Bev, yeah.
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby doll?
I'm going through a divorce right now, and I'm actually seeing someone else, and it's just a casual relationship, and we're just kind of messing around, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe it's more than just messing around and if I should get into something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just soon.
How long have you been out of your marriage?
A few months.
No, give Two yourself months. A little time. It's okay to have a boyfriend, kind of somebody to hang out with, but don't get too far in too fast if you can help it.
Hello?
Not a great idea.
Yes, not good.
Not a great idea.
Drew's saying no.
Okay.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Good.
Phew.
All right. This is why you don't get married at 19, everybody,
right.
Because you're 22 and you got a nice divorce under your belt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spend a little time alone.
Stop using guys to prop yourself up.
Right.
Spend a little time alone. It's good. It's a good character builder.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Good times.
There you go. It really is. It's boring. It's lonely. It doesn't feel that good. But it does build you up to be alone.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. Drew, when we go to the bathroom during this break, separate bathrooms.
No.
Any time to be. Any time for me.
Yes.
Any
you
time
build
for
your
me.
Character. Good.
Just me and my stream.
All right, sure.
All right. We'll take a quick break.
That's good.
What'd you hit the mic with? What'd you hit with a Super Bowl ring? Jesus Christ. Who's Liberace with that ring? Just get a regular size ring on you. Quit advertising. I mean, the thing looks like it's like you're married twice with that thing. Just come on, get something tasteful. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everyone. I want to thank Interpol for coming in here tonight and look forward to Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy doing all the voices. Yes, maybe even voices he doesn't do. Yes, Drew?
He'll do Chris.
All right. No, he can't. Oh, yeah, he will.
Blah, 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 blah.
Then you look forward to my beautiful rendition of blah, 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 blah. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
So I've been around a lot of white people, and the nigga, you got to stop that.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.